The next speaker, we're going to shift again now to Brazil and Latin America, is Professor Marcelo Ribeiro, who is chair of the Department of Surgery at the University of Santo Amaro, which is in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's an active fellow of the AAST. I know he has a special interest in trauma. He's a fellow of the college, and he's also been very involved with the Pan American Health Organization. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I'd like to thank the opportunity to be speaking here with you all. It's amazing. I mean, when I see what my colleagues from Africa are doing, it's really impressive. Thank you very much for sharing. The good thing is I think we are really in trouble in Brazil too. So in Latin America, the problem is always the same. One interesting thing to see is that in Brazil and in Latin America today, we have two very distinct ways to handle people when we're concerned about surgical care. We have the private system that is super top of line, everything is available, high tech and et cetera. And then we go to the public hospitals, the teaching hospitals, and then we get into trouble. So I live in a city where we have around 20,000 million people there. Sao Paulo is a huge city. And then you can drive 10 minutes away from my university hospital and get into the best hospital in Latin America. So it's kind of weird. So you do your private practice in a beautiful setting, and then you go to the public hospital, and everything is really terrible. So, well, as a trauma and acute care surgeon, I would try to focus kind of my presentation regarding this topic, but I will try to get an overview. It's a lot of challenge. I could speak here for like 6 hours about challenges and solutions to change the health system in Latin America, but I'll try to focus on some of the special parts. So I don't have any disclosure to present. And well, right now, while we're talking about Latin America means 20 countries, so it's a lot of people. It's like more than half billion people live in Latin America today, with this huge difference between the countries who are pointed here. I mean, their own regulations, the health systems are different, the rules are different, the way they teach medicine is different. So it's really hard to put everybody together and try to do something really working together. So what I personally do, I travel a lot around Latin America and I try to, you know, to bring teaching skills and course and et cetera, trying to improve the quality of care to the neighbor countries in my area in Latin America. So just to give a local idea what we're talking about regarding the situation in Latin America today, I'm showing here that unfortunately we have a very unequal distribution of financial source in the whole South America, but in Brazil it's really huge. The difference is really huge. You see, Brazil is one of the more unequal countries regarding distribution of money between the population. And for sure, this kind of problem will bring poverty and will bring other issues like lack of education, etc., that will impact somehow in the health of the population in Latin America. So when we put together poverty and then quality income distribution, we're going to have an increase in violence and low rates of schooling. So this is going to be impacting somehow the way we're going to handle the situations in this part of the globe. So we have, unfortunately, Brazil and Latin America are very, very bad when we're concerned about trauma and violence-related injuries. Just to give us some ideas, like right now, we are like right up here. So there's a lot of people getting in trouble with injuries and violence in the continent. See, the most dangerous place are like more in the upper part of Latin America, nearby the central area of the Americas here, and Brazil, unfortunately, is right over here, so we are very, very bad concerning the numbers of deaths related to violence in the continent. And you can see also here, most of these are the numbers of people dying by trauma and violence in the globe, and you see that most of these big ones are in Latin America, Guatemala, and then we have Brazil here, we have El Salvador, we have Venezuela, we have Honduras, so it's very, very bad neighborhood. So if you want to learn trauma, go down and visit us, I guarantee you. I remember 2 years ago, I got a fellow from the Pittsburgh. He was like, last month of training, he decided to spend 2 months with us in Brazil. In the first day, he called me and said, Jesus Christ, I want to stay here for a year. He went first Friday night. I said, oh, you went to a bar? No, I went to the hospital. I was crazy. I got six shots. Everything was so nice. I said, oh, good. Nice to see you. You know, so it's a nice way to learn, unfortunately. Well, just to show you some numbers here, unfortunately, the Americas are here. So low and middle income, that's where we are. So we're very bad. You know, unfortunately, the homicide numbers are huge and they're amazing. Just to give an idea, comparing firearm mortality in Brazil and in the United States, we're like 2 times more mortality related to gunshots. Just to our Portugal or the guys who discovered Brazil, they're like 27 times less dangerous considering the numbers of homicides when comparing Brazil to Portugal. So unfortunately, you know, they're much better than us, at least in this topic. Road traffic's the same, you know, unfortunately, middle and low income countries, very, very high related violence. And here the same numbers, we have three more times death related to road traffic comparing to Europe. And then, unfortunately, Brazil is the number one in Latin America. So we have a lot of car crashes and we have a lot of motorcycle accidents. If somebody had a chance to go to Sao Paulo, you're gonna see people driving the motorcycles like crazy. Between the cars, they go. It's really hard to change your car from one place to the other because there's always a motorcycle trying to pass you. So I will start to try to focus specifically in the topics I was invited to speak with. So I will point to some challenges and I'll try to show some of the solutions that we're trying to apply in Latin America and in Brazil. It's always the same. You see, my friends from Africa are speaking about training because training is a big time in Latin America because it's nothing really that we can compare. So you can go to a place where they're very well trained and then you can take a plane, fight for 2.5 hours and get in a place where people have no training at all. We're just speaking a few minutes before about Nicaragua. I had a chance to go to Nicaragua last year to provide a training in trauma. I mean, I was like in the middle of the jungle and Siuna, is that the name?
Yes.
Siuna. And, you know, most of the doctors never ever had a chance to train something related to trauma. So we were there to try to help them to learn how to put a cervical collar, how to handle abdominal trauma, how to put a drain. So it's really unequal, the distribution. So regarding medical students and residents, we have to definitely, the challenge is investments in surgical education. As previously said, it's very expensive to have a training facility right now in Latin America. You know, the equipments are very, very high costs. The simulation models are very sophisticated usually, but we have to have them to allow the medical students, especially the residents, to have the chance to be practicing all the time. So right now we're just implementing in my university a program where the medical students and the residents, they go every week to the lab and they have their own skills. So they have like a log book where they have to, you know, have to train suture. They go there like 10 times and then we're going to be there to watch them doing. So we want to improve then the ability to do the hands-on procedures. When I was training, I remember in my second year of residency, I probably had more chance to operate than guys who were graduated for 10 years in US because we have such a great number of patients to be there. So it's really easy to learn hands-on, but it's not ethical. I mean, I cannot say to my medical students, go there, you're gonna learn in the patient. So you go to the lab, you learn in the lab, and then we can try to move to the patient care. So simulation is really still a challenge in Brazil and Latin America. And also we have to define the specific needs assessment for each group of students and residents and try to make a kind of a uniform training system to the whole South America and Latin America. Because today, if you visit 10 countries, each of them is going to be training the medical students and residents in a different way, so there's not a uniform, systematic way to train it. So what as a proposed solution, we have to search for financial support to develop the training facilities, and then we got to go to the PPP. So we have to ask people to support the university hospitals, the teaching facilities, and then we can have donation from rich people, we can have donation from the companies, and that's the way we're making it happens in Brazil right now, trying to make these PPPs to increase and to develop facilities to train and to allow the students, residents, and surgeons to get a better training system. That's another important topic, to involve the Latin American societies. As you can imagine, we have like more than 100 surgical societies in Latin America from all different specialties, etc. So we have to put these people together. We have to define what is really important to teach a medical student and a resident regarding their training. So I love trauma, so it's not possible for me to only be teaching trauma. I have to share the information with the urologist guy, the pediatric surgeon, say, well, concerning pediatric surgery, what is important for a general surgical resident to learn? And then after that, we put everything together and we develop a program of training for them. There's another big topic, in especially in Brazil, there's academic leagues where we have the medical students who are really into the surgical learning. They develop like a group of students and they have activities after the school, like usually in the beginning of the night or lunchtime. So we have the volunteer professors who go there to teach them, to make them to develop papers, publish training, and etc. So they are like the future of surgery in Latin America. So most of, in Brazil right now, most of the medical students, they want to go to dermatology. Of course, they make money. They work from Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. So it's, everybody wants to be a dermatologist. So we have to bring these medical students with us so they can get an inspiration and develop their skills and become future surgeons. We have to also establish partnerships and exchanging programs. We're very glad. In this last year, we had like more than 18 surgeons from all over the globe, from Europe, from Africa, from South America, from US, visiting our hospital. And it's very important because I receive the guys, and then I can send my medical students, I can send my residents, I can send my assistants to visit them. And then, you know, this exchange thing is really important to see how we can improve it. And also search for partnerships with big institutions like the American College of Surgeons. I was very honored to receive the fund in 2015, which allows me to make a course when we had people from Miami, Harvard, Baylor, colleagues from Paraguay, Bolivia, Chile, and 22 national invited professors to participate in the first congress that we really had in my institution. So they had a lot of fun. You can see Dantier here from Miami, Esteban, Hayden Caffaroni from Harvard. They had a lot of fun. My resident, they went crazy. We're like training the lab for surgical skills in trauma care. And that was very nice. And this was, I would like to thank again for the college to provide me this financial support to allow me to do this. So this year we had the third edition, so we're trying to do every year. So it's really nice. We have to provide continued and affordable training for all surgeons in Latin America. Unfortunately, I would say that more than half of the surgeons in Latin America cannot afford to come to the United States to do a ACLS Congress every year, not even paid for the ATLS training program, because it's expensive for us. So we have to try to make a way to provide them the opportunity to be training and to be updated. And simulation, again, is really playing an important role in this situation. We have to remember we have a language barrier in Latin America. Say Brazil speaks Portuguese, all the rest speak Spanish. Some place like Haiti, they speak Creole. And so we have to remember that most of the high quality journals are in English. So one of the actions we can try to do is really to try to help them to create some programs that would be able to provide a affordable, high-quality training with a low cost. And it's not impossible. I can tell you that most of the surgeons, myself, I can speak for myself and for a lot of colleagues who are also involved, we go for free. You know, we just go there because we want to help. And so I think it's like a kind of giving back operation. We got to do something to, you know, to provide the ones who are not able to be traveling all over the world. Other important things, we have to support, for example, here the Pan-American Trauma Society. They have their own courses. They are usually less expensive than the courses provided by the college, and they're affordable for most of the surgeons in Latin America. So we try to get involved with all these courses, and especially translating from Spanish to Portuguese. And I got in trouble. They said, oh, can you help me to translate this, you know, the internet page? I said, yes. And then I sent it. It took me like 5 minutes. It was only a page. No, not only the page, but each of the programs have to be translated to Portuguese. I said, all right. So I got a task force with my medical students from the league. I said, guys, we have a job to be done here in 10 days. So we're trying to develop, to translate all these programs to Portuguese because they already have it in English and in Spanish. So as part of the proposed solution, we're organizing activities in Portuguese and Spanish who do not speak English. And also I'm really involved in the task force to translate surgical literature into Portuguese and Spanish, like the TLS book, the STC, and etc. So we can allow people to get information. Another action that we just got involved a couple years ago, Dr. Maresco from France developed the IRCAD course in France in Strasbourg, and back in 2011 they created the first Latin American IRCAD, and they invited me to organize a course about acute care surgery and trauma surgery. So this course is very nice. We have people from all over Latin America coming. It's not a very expensive course comparing to the US course. There's like 2 days course, 1 day acute care surgery, next day trauma. Very nice for the surgeons to be able to handle high tech, and we're always inviting some friends to go down and to participate. And with this, we're able to train like 240 students from Brazil and Latin America, with a huge number of invited professors from all over the Latin America and North America. So this is an action that is really not expensive comparing to other courses, and it's really helpful for, you know, the ones who want to improve their knowledge in trauma and acute care surgery. Well, talking about better conditions, especially in public hospital, this is a huge challenge. I tell you, I've been traveling all over Latin America, and some of the places that I've been operating is really scary. I say, Jesus Christ, I'm not going to do it. I call my wife, say, what do you think? Should I go back to Brazil? No, you got to do it. Go there and do it. And if I can share some pictures later, it's really scary the way, you know, sometimes you have to take care of people there. I've been in Haiti, I've been in Africa, I've been in some different place all over, but in Latin America is really scary, the situation. A basic infrastructure is really a huge concern. A lot of small rural hospitals, they don't have intensive care units, they don't have labs, they don't have anything related to imaging. I remember once I was like in the middle of nowhere up in the north of Brazil, and there was suddenly a trauma shop there. I said, okay, let's do a fast. I said, what? A fast? Ultrasound? Oh, no ultrasound. Let's do a CT scan. No CT scan. So what we have in here? Actually nothing. Everything you need is like 2 hours away from here. So that's in Brazil, like in the biggest county in Latin America, 2 hours away from a capital. And I felt like in the middle of nowhere back 100 years ago. So, you know, that's the way it is, unfortunately. And it's pretty much like in Africa, we have old equipments, nobody takes care of the equipments. Sometimes they donate equipment to the hospitals and nobody just, it's there for like 10 years. Say, there's a laparoscopic set here. Oh, nobody uses it because nobody knows how to plug the things together. So it's really kind of crazy. Supply chain is unreliable. Basically, we can stay places away from the big cities for long periods without any kind of supply. So it's really, really difficult, especially in isolated areas, north in the Amazon area, and blood supplies is the same, unreliable, especially in Brazil right now. We're always going to be dependent on local regulations and other factors like distribution, etc. And we have the same problem as in Africa. One equipment that can cost you here in the United States $1,000, in Brazil go up to $3,000 at least. So it's, you know, the taxes are very high, and so they should try to reduce the costs somehow with tax benefits and etc. Infrastructure, agreements, PPPs, partnerships with hospital, universities, and the government would really help to get a better system. Regarding the solutions, I think try to develop agreement, especially with the companies, big companies, industries, partnerships. So as an example, an open abdomen, for example, we usually in regular base the Barker technique. But now we have a partnership with Ocelity, and they provide us like
5 or 10 Apteras every month, so we can use and show the residents how to use it. So it's a nice way to make it work. And also develop a base infrastructure to allow access to regional distribution centers, so we can have the medications and equipment traveling faster inside of the, especially in the north part of Brazil and the Amazon area, where access depends on river boats and etc. So, and we also can involve the military. They don't have nothing to do in Brazil, you know. I don't remember last time we got into war. That's probably like more than 100 years. So they stay there doing nothing. Go help us. Come on. We need a helicopter. We need everybody there to, you know, to provide supplies and distribution in the country. Protocols and communication. We, especially in Brazil, we have a national guideline from the Brazilian Medical Association, but it's not specific for surgical disease. So, you know, you do whatever you want to do, it's up to you, and there's no regulatory system to say you have to go this way or that way. So it's not mandatory for hospitals to follow the regulations. We have to improve communication between hospitals and pre-hospital setting, especially in trauma care. When you're on call in Brazil, it's like a surprise. They show up and we don't know what's going to be coming. There's no time to prepare yourself, so we have to implement this. And we also have to implement national database for medical information, trauma database. So we try to copy the way it works in States and in Canada, the pre-hospital communication. With its Brazilian Society of Trauma is trying to develop this system, and we have to motivate the government to implement national database. So I'm finishing my presentation. We also have other challenges. It's not dependent on us as surgeons, like political and economical challenges, and equal income distribution, education for the lower class, water and sewage for lower classes, increase in access to public health systems, and improve the quality of public hospitals. My personal opinion is this. We have to invest in surgical education to all levels. We have to offer an affordable and adequate training for surgeons. And we have to make the government to understand that investing money in healthcare can actually reduce expenses in other sectors that would demand less as a consequence. So there's a lot of things to be done, but you know, we believe that we can do it. So we're going to keep looking forward to the better quality system in Brazil and in Latin America. Thank you very much.